got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Right this slot, your host is taking it easy. As we steamroll into the final hour of our broadcast week, welcome to our top stories this hour. And often on Fridays, we get to present an exclusive prism through which to view the world, and this is one of those happy Fridays.
Now he's the cops in all the land. Let's all give that man a hand. He's the best of all the auctioneers. $45 bid and now $50
John Curley, yep. You can hear every afternoon from 3 to 7 here on News Radio.
Yes.
What are we called now? 97.3 Cairo News Radio, right?
We're called the Dory Monson Station.
Well,
that's you deserve credit, Dory. You carry all of us with your number one ratings and all of your sponsors that you take such great care of and all of your
You know what? I was thinking about the sponsor thing. This is kind of humbling for me. Mm-hmm. So the companies that align with me, they want to help you take care of your crawl space, your attic, your roof, your foundation. The people who come to you, do you want to have teeth like John Curley? Do you want to have hair like John? You're a handsome man, John, and
yes,
your sponsors reflect that people want to look like you. My sponsors reflect that people want to live like me, but they don't want to look anything like me.
No. Your listeners have houses full of rats and leaky roofs, and then they're taught how to shoot guns.
Yeah, and they need long-term care coverage, and they need primary insurance, too.
Yes, they do. By the way, let me say something. I listen to you all the time about First Mark Insurance, and the person takes the First Mark Insurance test. So
challenge.
I did it.
It's not test. Challenge. It's a challenge.
Challenge. I did it, and then I got hooked up with them, and Scott is my guy over there, and they
Scott's
are
awesome.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I told this story once on the radio. My attorney, I was going through a really horrible time. My attorney is also named Scott. Inadvertently sent Scott from First Mark the letter to my attorney, which had all sorts of problems, as you can imagine, that an attorney would need.
Right.
And Scott didn't realize that. He just wrote back and goes, wow, sounds like you need a lot of help. This is a little outside of my wheelhouse, but I'm going to do everything I can to possibly get you some answers on some of these problems. And I realized, oh, my God. But the outstanding customer service from Scott from insurance,
he's
like doing everything he could to try to answer all these legal things. He's like, I'll try to help you out, buddy. Sorry. That was meant for my attorney. He goes, oh, okay. Well, then good luck with all of that.
they started, I'll tell you a quick story about that.
Yes.
A guy whose daughter I coached in high school, he's one of the partners, or one of the investors there. Yeah. And after a basketball game, he said, well, what would it take to have you endorse us? I said, well, let me find out about the company, because I only endorse the best, of course. And anyway, they're great. And so I saw this guy, this was a couple of years ago. I see him all the time. But he said, I can't believe we're still advertising with you. We thought we were going to be on for a year. You'd saturate the market, and then we wouldn't get a return on investment. And he said, our phone's still ringing off the hook after 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I was very pleased to hear that. That's because our listeners, they know that you and I only endorse them. I mean, if one of your listeners has a chipped tooth, they're going to go to Dr. Rise 4. We all know this.
Well, I'm walking around as a living testament to the fact that you can get your hair replaced, your own natural hair growing back. And yep, I don't mind. And people want to see my teeth and touch my hair. I just have a rule. You can only touch my teeth once. You're not allowed to, like, keep rubbing your finger back and forth across the front of my teeth. That's the rule. Just one touch. Okay. One touch on that.
I have a quick story to tell you. I heard a promo from your show. I hear your show whenever your promos run during my show. And I heard a promo a couple of days ago where you and Sherry were talking about the graffiti problem in Seattle. And so last night, do you ever look at the Twitter account Seattle Homicide?
No, I'm not on Twitter.
They do a good job. They keep track of just how violent the year has gotten. But last night, they posted a video, and it's Gasworks Park. And they just walk around for 20 seconds, and there's some violent street gang called the 18th Street Gang or something. And so on every retaining wall and every sidewalk and every available spot at Gasworks Park, this gang has tagged various ways of writing out 18, which is the name of their gang. And I watched that last night, John. It made me so sad because it was 36 years ago this month. My wife and I, we were dating at the time. She didn't know I was going to propose to her. And one December night, I said, we're going to go get something to eat. But I put a blindfold on her. I drove to Gasworks Park. I've never done anything cool and romantic in my life. But I was proud of this one. I put a blindfold on her. It happened to be a clear night. It happened to be a full moon. Both a happy coincidence. And I walked her out to the edge of the water at Gasworks. And that's when...
I am dreaming, dear, of you, Delilah.
The barbershop quartet that I hired started singing Let Me Call You Sweetheart, and then I got down on a knee and I proposed to her. And wow. So last night I'm watching this beautiful park. Gasworks is one of the greatest urban parks in America, and now it's just a canvas for gangs and a tribute to soft on crime Democrat policies around here. It made me sad, so I just wanted to toss that out to you, since I know you and Sherry had been talking about this just a couple days ago.
Well, I remember after the World Trade Organization and the riots and everything that were happening there, the next day I went out with Daryl, my cameraman, and we did
Daryl Benedict, good man.
Daryl Benedict, not shooting at Freeview Magazine, just to get out there. And there were about 15 or 20 of us in various parts of Fifth Avenue and around Westlake removing graffiti that had been sprayed on the walls. Just people decided they were just going to do it. And I remember being over near the monorail, and I was putting this chemical on the thing to get the paint off, and this cop came running across the street, and he had his Nike stick out, and I turn around, and he goes, "Oh God, Curly, I didn't know it was you. I thought you were spraying. I thought you were tagging the thing." I said, no. There's a whole bunch of us all over the city just trying to clean up the graffiti. I mean, that was the Seattle that I knew and loved.
Yes.
There was no organization. Nobody, there's no Twitter, nothing else. Just people saw it and said, well, that we're not going to have the world see our city look like that. It's embarrassing. It's not who we are. And people just went out and cleaned it all up. And now it's gotten out of hand, where the heart of Seattle, it doesn't beat as strongly because you just can't keep ahead of it. And maybe the people that loved it are broken and either have given up or have left.
It's so sad because it's so trashy. No, tell me if you think this would work. A friend of mine called me a few days ago. It's a name you would recognize. And he was telling me that he and a couple of partners, a few years ago, they bought 350 warehouses in Miami. And then one of their partners, the partner from New York, said, "I'm going to find who the kingpin graffiti tagger guy is in Miami." And he found him. And he said, "Hey, if we gave you the walls of our 350 warehouses as your canvas, could you get everybody who's tagging all around Miami, could you get them to stop destroying the city? You can all come down. You can, nothing profane, nothing illegal, but you can do your art, if you consider it art, on our warehouse walls." And it's turned into, it's called Wynwood Walls, W-Y-N, WynwoodWalls.com. it's now tourists will pay to take a tour. It's like an art gallery. It's like a art gallery for graffiti, for taggers. And my friend swears that graffiti all around Miami has dropped dramatically because all these guys want is a place to do their thing. And I'm so skeptical. I don't. Do you think that would work here?
Well, as you pointed out, you'd have to organize it, right? You said, how did you get the main guy? And then you'd have to also believe that the main guy speaks for all the other artists.
Yeah, has that kind of influence, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so, because most of the stuff you see is just somebody leaning over overpass and putting their stupid initials on the thing. So it's not art. It's just destruction of private or public property that doesn't belong to them. But we have a city council that wants to spend money to help these people express themselves in artistic ways. And it's the first sign that the city has gone to pot is when people let that happen. I remember when I was living in New York City, and after David Dinkins left and Rudy stepped in, Rudy passed this thing that said, listen, any subway car that has been tagged will be immediately taken off the line, go back to Brooklyn, and we'll have the stuff sprayed off of it. Mm-hmm. So he put this special type of paint on all the subway cars so they could hit it with the either water or whatever it was went on there, and all the paint would come off. He said, it's the broken windows theory that people try to say is not true, but you can prove over and over again that if you just leave one broken window, someone will come along and break the next window. Same thing with garbage. If the garbage can is overflowing with garbage, people throw the garbage on the floor. If people see the graffiti, they don't care as much. Small crimes lead to bigger crimes.
Very true. Yeah, and you know the thing I find most depressing when I would go around European cities is just how much
we've been the underdogs before. U.S. soccer.
Whoop. Am I playing that or are you?
I don't know who's
nobody's
playing that.
Playing that.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard
somebody. Sound like somebody's okay, playing
that. I'm sorry. But it's, you know, because we would ride trains when my wife and girls and I would go to Europe, and along train lines, it's just graffiti everywhere. And I thought, man, this is off. But these are all socialist nations, and these are kids who just have no hope because of the kind of, you know, economic system they have, you know, especially in France where they're rioting in the streets all the time because nobody can feel like they can get ahead. Seattle's just as bad now as those horrible European cities that have graffiti everywhere.
Yeah, it's sad. I remember my dad came here many, 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 many years ago, and he said he'd travel all around the world. He goes, I have never seen a major city other than someplace like Singapore or Hong Kong as clean. He kept saying, it's so clean. Seattle is so clean. I said, people care. They care. They love this city. Yeah. And they don't want to throw garbage. And if you put garbage down and you drop it, somebody would come over and say, hey, pick that up, or you drop this. So they put it in the garbage themselves. There's a sense of belonging, right? And a sense of purpose. And it's sad, but they're beating it out of us.
Yeah. Hey, on another issue, I talked about this.
This is not about kangaroos. You're not going to bring up kangaroos because I'm telling you right now.
I was going to recap kangaroos in my 2:30 segment today.
All right. Go ahead. Other topics. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Teresa Mosqueda on our Socialist Seattle City Council, she wants to raise the car tabs $10. Channel 4 did this story.
This would be an extra $10 tacked on to that fee you pay every year to register your car if you're here in Seattle. A city council member says this is necessary now for road infrastructure and safety work, and she also hopes that this will be only a temporary fee.
It's going to be temporary. They're going to add $10, and then they're going to take it off in a couple of years. Has that ever happened in the history of local politics?
The only time that ever happens is when the government is overthrown by the people and then they stop taxing, like the French Revolution. I brought up on my show, known as the 3-7 show, Dory, as you know,
News
Radio. 3-7 News Radio. If you remember about a year and a half ago, Diaz, then the interim police chief, and a bunch of other folks, I think Lisa Judge, said, listen, we have to tell the cops, stop pulling people over for small infractions because you're obviously a bunch of racists and you're only targeting, the disadvantaged and all this other crap. So they're not going to stop you for tags. They won't stop you for, you know, broken taillights, things like that. They're not going to make, they're not going to, and Diaz says, yes, we'll agree to that as well. So They don't. And in Seattle, they don't pull you over for tabs. So you can drive with an expired tab because they're not going to pull you over. So when they say, well, we're going to raise $5 million or whatever they're going to raise by going an extra $10, well, no, it's 10 times zero is zero. You're not going to get any more because people know, hey, the people do what you inspect or what you expect. If you're not going to enforce the law, then people are not going to obey the law. We see that happen every single day in the city of Seattle. So right. When you say you're going to go 10, why don't you do $200 extra on each one of those tabs that people are not renewing? Because you've already told, and you've had the police chief say, the interim chief at the time, we're not going to enforce that law. Okay, fine. Then if you're not going to enforce it, why would I be a sucker and pay $500, $600, $700, $800, or $1,100 for my broken down hoopty mobile in order to have a tag on the back of it?
Did you get one of those hoopty mobiles? I didn't know that.
That's an old term. Now it's called a whip. Now it's a whip.
Dory. Oh, okay.
Try to keep up. It's a whip.
So my question about that, and I don't know the answer to this, but I do know the tabs can be a secondary infraction. So if they pull you over for speeding, then they can also give you an extra ticket.
Don't, by the way, if they try to pull you over for speeding, keep driving.
Yeah, just take off, exactly. And but then if you go to sell your car and haven't licensed it for 3 years, are they going to make you pay a lump sum of 3 years of unpaid tabs before you can sell it?
I don't know if they'll try to do something like that. There's a whole bunch of ways around it. If there's a system to be beaten, people will beat the system. You go to sell a car and you say to the guy, the guy will say, what do you want me to put down? Put down $700. Yeah. Okay. So they put $700 down to avoid the tax on the thing. Yeah. I mean, you just paid $5,000 for the car.
We have a minute.
I'm advocating that type of, what's that? Not that I'm advocating that. I'm just telling that sort of stuff happens all the time.
We have less than a minute left now. But I went off at the beginning of the show. I heard you talk to yesterday. The state of Washington wants to give baby bonds, $4,000 to every baby who is born under Medicaid. I said, why don't we instead encourage kids to work and save $4,000 so that they can learn something that'll serve them the rest of their life instead of just learning to rely on government for everything? Your take,
The operative word in there is give, right? So that's the verb, is to give. Yes. You're going to give somebody. Dory, you pointed out, and I said this to my kids. Of course, they didn't do it. I said, guys, you're 14 years old. Put $10 away a week. $10 away a week. And by time you're 55 years old, you're going to have almost $1 million. And they're like, but they can't because, you know, they didn't learn that. It was all about instant gratification. But $10. Otto von Bismarck in 1889 said, or prior to that, as in Prussia, that if you can make them dependent, you can count on their vote. This is another example of the government making somebody dependent. I'm going to give you $5,000 to do this. You know it's going to become $10,000, and then they're going to loosen what you can use it for different things, because if you choose this or choose that, well, that's discriminatory or that's racist or something like that. Do what they do in the UK and Canada, which is, you could put the money in and it's after tax. They won't tax your capital gains. They won't tax you when you take it out if you need it for emergencies. But it's you saving your own money.
Exactly.
If you want to try to shrink that gap between those that have and those that do not, you want to emulate the exact same qualities that those that have are doing. And that's not color, that's culture. And that's about somebody saving money. Save it. You can do whatever you want with it. But if you just want the government to give you money for a child that you can't afford, and they're going to give you more money, again, Otto von Bismarck, if we can make them dependent, we can count on their vote. Every single one of these things coming out of all of your elected officials is one more way for them to keep their job.
Amen. Is Bismarck's first name really Audubon?
Otto von Bismarck. Bismarck. He even had the hat with the big pointy thing on top. Yeah. He invented the retirement. He came up with it. He said, hey, I don't like the way these Germans are starting to think about socialism. Let's come up with an idea. So he said, I'll tell you what. There's no reason you should have to work the rest of your life in a job. So we'll give you the retirement. You can have retirement. And that's what would go. We'll give you retirement.
So do you remember a few months ago? Did management tell you to never do an accent again on the air? Weren't you ordered not to do that?
Yes,
I was too.
Now he's a cop in all the land. Let's all give that man a hand. He's the best of all.
They did. They actually did. No more accents.
It's John Curley there. You can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7.
Thousand voices. Thousand voices.
97.3 Cairo News Radio, your news talk station. News Radio.
Whatever.
Alright, we're going to check the news right here at the bottom of the hour, and then I'll get to my kangaroo story. Next. Here on the Dory Monson Show. Broadcast week. Got an excellent question. Nicole, I know that you're sick today, so you don't like to talk too much when you're sick. But
I don't think I sound awesome.
We got an excellent question, though, from the text line, 360. I happened to mention, I don't like talking about this sort of thing, but I happened to mention at the beginning of the 1 o'clock hour that the November ratings came out, and we're once again the highest-rated local news talk show in the United States of America for 2 years now. And from the 360, who did you guys dethrone prior to being number one in America, and what is the record for being number one? That's an excellent question among local talk shows. I don't know. Do you know? You're a talk radio junkie.
No, I have no idea. I was trying to think. It's probably one of the shows that is now, you know, I mean, everybody, a lot of people have gotten podcasts. But as far
podcasts,
as local.
More syndicated. No, we're talking about local radio now.
Right. So it's probably one of those people before they went that direction, right?
Even the ones before they went podcast, they weren't getting the kind of numbers that we're getting now. Like John and Ken down in Los Angeles, KFI, they do great, but you know, as far as share, we've never seen anything like this, like what we're doing the last couple of years. So I don't know, but it'd be fun to research that. I'd like to find out in top 20 markets. So it's a good question. Yeah. Thank you, 360.
I wonder where that info is.
What's that?
I said, I wonder where that info is or who's keeping track of it. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm just looking at, I won't go. I don't want to get
too far.
Yeah,
we can do that later.
Okay. A couple of things here. We got a good batch of awesome audio of the week, too. If you were listening, my wife, I saw her an hour ago. She actually had a tennis match today. And she got to the tennis courts, and two of her friends came up to her and said, "Hey, we heard you're getting a kangaroo." And my wife had no idea what they were talking about. So she came home and she goes, "Why do people think we're getting a kangaroo?" "Well, because, honey, a couple of days ago, I saw a story that Washington is one of only 13 states in the country where you are allowed to own a kangaroo. You just have to have a permit here in Washington." And as I was talking about that a couple of days ago, this very nice man, Gary, right? Was it Gary? Nicole?
Our kangaroo guy, his name's Ray.
Ray. Mm-hmm. No, it's Ray.
Yes.
Ray Strom. He owns a kangaroo deal up in Arlington. Well, not a deal. it's a habitat. It's like a preserve. I don't know what it is.
It's a farm.
But Ray contacted us, and he said, well, if you want to look into getting a kangaroo, Ray's the guy to talk to with me and my wife.
Well, when they're babies, they spend all the time in the house because they not furred up enough to be out in the elements.
Okay.
And at that stage, they're about 6.5, 7 months. They're still getting in and out of mom's pouch up to about 10.5, 11 months.
Okay.
And it's nice and warm in there, so they need to be kept warm. And when they get a little closer to a year, then they would be able to be outside.
Could I get some sort of pouch that I could wear that would replicate its mama's pouch?
Normally people have a pouch made out of different materials and hang it around your neck and carry them around like a little, a little animal, yeah. A dog.
So that sounds perfect to me. I think that'd be cozy. But I was concerned as a prospective first-time kangaroo owner if there are any problems with owning a kangaroo. I know that they're very strong animals, and I know that when they can lean back on their tail and then unleash deadly kicks, right?
Well, yeah, they do that, but the wallabies are, of course, a lot smaller, so it's not as critical. The kangaroos that I have, sometimes they will wrestle with each other over breeding dominance.
Okay.
The dominant male is going to be the breeder.
Okay, well, I've already had a vasectomy, so that shouldn't be a problem. they'll be dominant the second they step on my property. So anyway, I don't know if my wife would like that as a surprise Christmas gift, but maybe one of my daughters is listening right now, and they'll surprise me with a roo. So we'll see. And it sounds like Ray is suggesting I start with a wallaby before I get a kangaroo, but then I got to figure out if Buddy will get along with either the wallaby or the kangaroo, because Buddy likes to have all the attention. And I don't know. I just don't know if at my age I'm ready to enter this brave new world. But
I'm going to tell you right now, Buddy what? Is not going to get along with those.
why do you think that?
Buddy needs a buddy with as much energy as he has that he cannot tackle and bite. Or, he needs another dog.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he does need another dog. My wife's not too keen on that. If my wife is not keen on Buddy getting a companion dog here, then I'm guessing she's not going to be too keen on the kangaroo story either.
Yeah, but, you have to keep them separate somehow.
What about this? What was the guy at the beginning of the pandemic, the Netflix show, the Tiger King?
What was that called? Yeah, Tiger King.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Okay. What if I get the kangaroo on the condition that I can sell a reality series to one of the streaming services?
Okay. Yes. If that's your condition, when you get those papers signed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What are the other components for a successful reality series? I would think having a kangaroo enough? How about this? Get a kangaroo, and I'll change my gender, like the Jenner, Bruce, or Caitlyn, because that's a successful show, right?
Yeah, I don't think she takes that much part of that. That's more the rest of the family. But I think you got to find something unique. The whole idea is to be different. So,
well, I know, but if I can borrow from what's successful, there's nothing new under the sun. That's in the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. So I borrow what's successful, and then, as Emeril would say, I'll kick it up a notch with a kangaroo.
Hmm.
I think it's you.
This isn't a Friday topic. I don't know what it is.
If the folks at Netflix, I know that they monitor us because we're the highest rated local news talk show in the country. If the folks at Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Paramount Plus, if any of you are listening, Dory's open for business, okay? All right, quick timeout, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Awesome audio is next. Keep me. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. This one, we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Let's start at the White House, where Joe Biden started off doing a toast to France. Then he suddenly shifted to toasting Frank.
France was our first ally, first country to fly the American flag after our revolution. And Frank hosted the first diplomatic post before, more than anything else, France has been our first friend.
We didn't edit that. Frank hosted the first developmental post, or whatever he said, post, before, and then he just shifts. It's like he skipped a line on the old teleprompter there. But at least he is backing him up. His White House spokesperson, Karine Jean-Pierre, who was paying tribute to some very noble people.
Today, President Biden met with three U.S. winners of the 2022 Nobel Prize. Dr. Caroline Bertozzi, who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. Dr. John Clauser, who won the Nobel Prize in Physics. And Dr. Douglas Diamond, who won the Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences.
Just one piece of advice to Karine Jean-Pierre. Next time, you should try to get some Nobel Peace Prize winners, too. That'd be something else. Let's see. Oh, and then you have your vice president, Kamala Harris, who she's not doing anything about the border, but she is one of our space czars, and she's laser-focused on space.
Regarding rules and norms, we are working together to develop norms for the responsible and peaceful uses of outer space, and this is critically important work. More specifically, regarding rules and norms and international rules and norms, and establish rules and norms to govern space activities.
I think it's going to be good to have norms in space. Rand Paul talking about Dr. Fauci.
Likely there is no public figure or public health figure that has made a greater error in judgment than Dr. Fauci. The error in judgment was to fund gain-of-function research in a totalitarian country, fund research that allowed them to create superviruses that in all likelihood accidentally leaked into the public and caused 7 million people to die. Think about it. This is right up there with decisions, some of them malevolent or military, to kill millions of people. This accidental, but it goes to judgment. For the last 2 years, he's been covering his tracks, but we've got him red-handed, and he won't get away. Historically, he will be remembered for one of the worst judgments in the history of modern medicine.
Whew, go get him! All right, and finally in our awesome audio, Andrew hit it. A couple days ago, I was just going on the air. But I got the news that one of the voices of the soundtrack of my life, Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac, passed away at the age of 79. And it's happening a lot. When you get to be my age, the people you grow up listening to start to go. But we thought that'd be a fun way to just close out the week. And so, here's Fleetwood Mac to play us out. Play us out! I don't know what that means. Play us out! And John Curley and Sherry Alker shows coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. I'll see you back here Monday. High noon. Hello.
This was just another day for me to overcome. My attitude is nothing can bring me down. And it's really easy to do that here, Rick. And you know this because I work with a man that also has no leg.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.